Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for this wonderful creation. Mothers, wives, women. Can I hear an amen, man?
Amen.
There you go. See? Men agree. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now we are getting ready for a time of discussion, conversation with the Creation Ministers International, which will be here. And I want everybody to invite as many people. It's going to be a Thursday evening, May the 30th. Or it's 31st. No, it's 30th. We're going to have Richard Fangrand, who you probably have seen him on TV. He's always like in the debating creation versus evolution. And it's an exciting, and if you have like somebody that is kind of not a believer, he kind of believes half and half, but he would be interested in to have a second opinion about who made it, who brought it all into motion. Wednesday, May 30th, here at 7 o'clock, was it 6:30? Whatever is on the bulletin there. Sorry, it's Thursday. Yes. Now, what time is it again? Take a peek at the bulletin. You will find it there. So, but be here. It is going to be very interesting. How it's going to happen. How it's going to work. There will be a 1 hour, sort of 1 hour talk. Then there will be a 15 minute break. And then there will be the other half of the evening will be answers and questions. Or questions and answers. You can already get ready with some questions. If you want to ask, for example, well, with whom Cain got married. If Adam was created with Eve, and Adam and Eve, they had Cain and Abel died, Cain married somebody. It's not mentioned in the Bible. With whom would he have married? Well, anyway, questions like that kind of nature, you're more than welcome to come and ask. And it will be interesting about the beginning and how everything started. And some even if you have questions that you heard from evolutionists as to what they say has really happened, the Big Bang. And I'm more in favor of the Big Bang. You know, I'm a Big Bang theory guy. Because God spoke it and bang, it happened. Right? Praise the Lord for that. Anyway, in the beginning, created God. In fact, that's the order. And what I found very interesting, how many here know Hebrew? Not many. Well, neither do I. But after this week, I kind of found, you know what? Maybe I should actually dig a little bit more into the Hebrew aspect of the Bible. I found out, well, I knew that, but that the Hebrew letters, they do actually have a numeric value. And for every letter, there is also a little drawing, a little picture that goes along with the letter. That's ancient. That's very ancient. So there is a numeric value on every single letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And then there is also a little drawing for every single letter. Now, what do we have here? And you have it in your bulletin there. In the beginning. And in the beginning in Hebrew, it means, and then I have written it out there, and you have to understand that the Hebrew, you have to read from back to the front. When you want to read a book in Hebrew, where do you start? From the last letter of the last page of the book. You come all the way to the front. You end up in Genesis 1:1. But you start from the end. It's not that you start reading Revelation. It's just the way it's written. The Hebrew is actually, we think it's upside down or you know, but God knew what he was doing. So, we have Barashit, Bara Elohim. In the beginning, created God. Now, Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. You see, here's another question you can have. Well, if God created waters and here and that, all of a sudden he already was hovering over the waters before he actually created anything. Well, not so quick. Actually, it says, God created heavens and the earth. That's the beginning. And after that, he kind of separated stuff. We're going to see some of it. But anyway, the word Barashit, it is formed by the letters. You know, this is so very, that's why, you know, this whole thing really, I was thinking maybe I would, you know, really go into creation. But it actually turned out to be, this message here today, more about who was involved in the creation. And how, and if you want to, you know, because there's also, you know, just to, for an introduction here, there's also a very big debate as to how long the days of creation were. The Bible says 6 days. In 6 days, God created everything. And it was morning and evening the first day, and morning and evening the second day, and so all the way up to the sixth day. And then on the seventh day, God rested of all his work. And he sanctified the Sabbath. I had a great conversation with my dear brother Barry Farndon this week over some nice lunch. And we talked about it. And I will not go too much into this. But it's very important about the Shabbat, the Saturday, or the day Jesus or God rested. Anyway, to go back here, Bet, Resh, Aleph, Shin, Yod, Tav. This is the order. And the beginning, let me go here. We have the word or the letter Bet, and it is pictured as a house. In Hebrew, there's a little, seemed a little bit like a house. There's a little picture of a house or a tent. Then we have the word Resh, and that is pictured as the man's head or the first or even the highest person. And then we have the word Aleph, the letter Aleph. The letter Aleph is pictured in the Hebrew as an ox head, representing the ultimate strength or God himself. Then we have the letter Shin. It's teeth. To destroy or to kill or to consume. And then we have the letter Yod. And that represents an arm. My arm or my work. And then we have the letter Tav. And it's pictured with two sticks. The cross. The mark or the covenant. And then we have Bet Resh. It formed the word Bar, meaning the son of. And it's very interesting. For example, you have Simon Bar Jonas, meaning Simon, the son of Jonas. They have the word Bar. So what do we have here? Interesting, very interesting. I mean, if you want to pick the idea that, you know, that God is very detailed and he means what he says and he says what he means. And he knows it from the beginning. We have hidden in the word beginning or Barashit, 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 or Barashit. I don't know Hebrew. I have to start learning. Does somebody know a little bit more about Hebrew here? But anyway, hidden in the letters of the Hebrew letters, or we have from the word Barashit, this is what we have. The Son of God will be destroyed by his own hands on a cross. The beginning. But that's just from the letters. And not just from the letters, this is from the first, the very first word in the Bible. If you add up the pictures of what every letter means, if you add it up, so you see how perfect God is? The Son of God will be destroyed by his own hand on a cross. That's the beginning. Isn't that interesting? In Revelation chapter 13, verses 8, all inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. In God, in God's mind, he saw it already. The Lamb of God was slain since when? Since the creation of the world. Here we have the word beginning. Just that one little word. Now it gets better. The second word happens to be the action word. And the action word here is creation or created. We have beginning. The next one is creation. And before we go there, though, let me read another text that confirms that God was, or that Jesus Christ was present. Isaiah 46:10 says this, I make known the end from the beginning. See, Jesus, I mean, God in his greatness and his majesty and his foreknowledge, he makes known the end from the beginning. See, God is very detailed. Everything is perfect. There's nothing out of the ordinary. That's why when I was asked, I had this week, we had an opportunity to be interviewed by the Council of the EMCC, a group of people, pastors, they came here and interviewed us. And I had mentioned there that I believe that the Word of God was absolutely, every word in the Bible was necessary. The whole Bible is inspired by God. Because if you go any other direction, all of a sudden we will come to the conclusion, well, this part, I don't like it really much, and this is really, well, you know, he might be a misinterpretation or a mistranslation or something. We don't really like it. It doesn't really fit with us, our modern culture. Might as well just leave it out. Now, we have a problem. If God put all these letters, and you see how detailed the Lord is. If he put all these letters together in this order, in a perfect way, knowing everything from the beginning, what makes us think or what makes us believe that all of a sudden part of the Bible is not inspired? Part of the Bible doesn't make sense. Now, we might have all doubts about certain things in the Bible. But the point I'm trying to make here today is if the Lord says he did something, I tell you, he did something. If he said he created the days or the world in 6 days, we cannot say that he did it in billions of years. Oh, it took about billions of years for the, you know, 62 billion of years. Like I said, the other day we went at this museum out there in, there's a museum, where is that? In Drumheller in Alberta. And there they have all the dinosaurs. And then all of a sudden we see a bone of a dinosaur, and it says underneath there, 65 billion years. And I go and say, you know what, I doubt it. I think it's 63.5. Will there be any difference? They have to come up with amazing numbers in order to put things into place. But you know what? It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. By the way, if God created the world, and we all know that God created it perfectly, He would not have destroyed anything. In fact, I'm of the belief that the dinosaurs, by the way, if we cannot place them at the time of creation of man, they're a big scam altogether. Because the scientists, so the evolutionists, they will say, well, all these big animals, they died billions of years before man was even on the scene. That's absolutely zero true. That's not true. Because we all know that death entered the world only after sin came into the world. So we know for a fact. If you cannot place them after the creation, as with all the other animals, now 65 billion years, no way. No way. Anyway, so not only was Jesus Christ part of the already mentioned in the first word that he would become the Redeemer, he was also the Creator. We read in Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our transgression, he was crushed for our iniquities. So the second word is created. It is the action word, but it also involves the Son. In the beginning, first word, we had that already. The second word is bara, or bet resh, an aleph. Bet, again, picture as a house. Resh, picture a man's head. We have bar. So the son of. Aleph, the most important. So the son of the most important. So all things were created or through the Son of God. Everything was created through the Son of God. And for those doubt who Jesus Christ was created himself, wrong idea. Jesus never was created. He always was with the Father. Now we do read this in John. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. We are talking about Jesus Christ here. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, we know that in verse 14 of the same chapter, we know the connection between in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and everything was created through this Word. All of a sudden it says, and the Word became flesh. Now we have someone like you and me walking on planet Earth who was from the very beginning. He created all things. He was part of the creation. He already knew in the very first word that he would die for his own creation. Now we also read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 17. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He exists before anything was created, and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Everything, let me read it. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Now that is Jesus, Would you mind give the Lord Jesus a big hand right now? Woo! Yeah! Now, to confirm this, let me read it in John chapter 17, where he makes a prayer for us. John chapter 17, verses 2 and following. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given, whom you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. It's Jesus praying. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory. Now, pay attention to this. With the glory I had with you before the world began. Are we settling it here? Jesus Christ was present at creation. And it was made through him and for him. Nothing that was created without his very finger in it. And God created everything in 6 days, by the way. If you agree that everything is perfect, that there's an absolutely 100% plan and everything is going to go according to the plan of God, everything. He created it in 6 days. And we read it in Exodus chapter 20, verses 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now we read in continue in verse 3. This is from Genesis chapter 1. And God said, now listen to this. This is pointing to Jesus Christ. He says, and God said, let there be light. Now we know this is not the sun, because the sun was only created on day 4. But he said, let there be light. See, I found that very interesting about the light thing. And that it is really a spiritual meaning here. It's kind of, there's a bunch of darkness out there. Let's shine some light into it. Let's turn the lights on. And it's interesting, too, that if there is nothing that reflects the light, light basically is hard to shine. Because you know that there is light. If a light beam goes into something, there's a wall, there's something, some solid or physical thing, you know that the light is on because it shines against it. It reflects against that whatever it is. Because if you are in a clear night, no dust in the air, you have a very strong light beam, and let's say there is no zero smoke and zero birds or zero mosquitoes, you point the light towards somewhere over there, you won't notice that the light is on. Because the light needs something to shine against so that you know that there is light. Does that make sense? For those who are physical or scientists here. But for Jesus, he created light. The text says this, and God said, he doesn't create the light. It's because he decides to shine. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good. And he separated. And that's where the beginning of this is the thing that he does on day one. And he separated the light from the darkness. And God called it the light day. In the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. So he created light to separate from darkness. It's a little complicated, but that's exactly what he did. And he established a spiritual metaphor for his goodness into the world that was about to be created. And we read it in John chapter 8, verses 12. Look what Jesus said. And again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will walk in light. Jesus is the light. So we know that on day one we have light, creation of the light, and of time. Because that's what the first time where it appears, and that there was morning and evening, day one, the first day. Day number two, he created the sky and he separated the waters. And there was, of course, there were water. There was kind of a mixture of water. And I guess the first thing, bang, he started off, okay, well, let's fix this up a little bit. And he started to separate the waters, or the underneath waters with the above waters. Because we know we have water in the atmosphere, which is the clouds and the rain and the humidity. It's all part of the waters. So he's the sky and separated waters. Day number three, they dry ground. And then he put the bodies of water in one place. We call it the ocean. Because if not, we would be always, you know, have a very wet basement. It would be a mixture of mud, and you would have to big long boots and whatnot. So what did he do? He separated the dry from the wet, so that we could walk on it, run on it, raise animals on it, build a house on it. On day four, he created the sun, which we today consider that's light. Well, guess what? He had light before that. Remember, he created the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets. Think about all the universe. And we don't know much yet. We have gone out there, have a peek out there a little bit here and there. We fly out a couple kilometers, maybe a couple thousand kilometers. And the further you go, the more you discover it has no end. It just goes and goes and goes. If you go in one direction and you keep on going, you keep on going, you will never, it has no end. And all of a sudden you see the sun. And then all of a sudden you discover that the sun itself and all our planets that we know and the Milky Way galaxy is a very, 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 very tiny, minuscule? Anyway, you know, I'm talking about microscopical. That's the microscopical, you know, Milky Way galaxy with all the sun and the stars that we can see. If you go further away, that little Milky Way galaxy disappears. Because there are bigger suns out there, there are bigger stars out there, there's bigger. And you travel and travel and travel, it never ends. God created it. The sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets on day four. Day five, he created fish and birds. Of course, now we have lots of water. Well, let's put some living creatures in it. You know, it all has a meaning. And I'm looking forward one day in heaven. The Bible says there will be a river in the New Jerusalem. In heaven, it will be made out of living water. I imagine, you know, all of a sudden, you know, there's a river coming from the throne of God, and you're standing there, and all of a sudden the river will say hi to you. living, but don't quote me on that. It's not written. But it's living waters. Think about that. And fish and birds. And on day six, he puts in land, animals of all kinds. And if you go into National Geographic and you go into the types of animals that are out there, it is mind-boggling. It's mind-blowing of the different, you know, how in the world can that come together by chance? It doesn't make sense. You know, it is the same thing as you have the letters of a dictionary, a big thick one with 500 pages. You threw the letters all up in the air, and they all come fall back together into words with meanings. No, there is an intelligent design behind it all. Can I hear an amen? True story. But I want you to be here on the creation and evolution debate that we're going to have up here. Well, it's not going to be an evolution debate, but we will talk about how can you and I, as Christians, as believers in God, respond to the more and more increasing amount of people in schools where you and my kids are going to school right now, where God is being shoved to the side. We don't believe in God. He didn't do anything of this. It's all a big lie, big scam. There's only evolution by 62, 63 billion years. And I say, good luck with that. But I want to encourage you and me, as we are in this very sketchy world, it is time for us to stand up for what we believe. And in fact, we read it in Timothy. And be ready to answer to all those who ask you regarding the hope that is in you. Think about it. We understand that after he all was made, you can read it yourself in chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 31. And God saw all that he made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. There was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And on the seventh day, to give us an example, rest on it. I'm telling you, God wasn't tired after he created the six-day work. God, the God I serve, he never gets tired. He never sleeps, never slumbers. He is pretty sharp at all time. He is physically in shape. He never rests. But he did rest because he is, as you know, in the New Testament, it talks about, Jesus talks about, he created the Sabbath day for man. Man, or the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Now that does, and according to my theology here, relate to the 1,000-year reign where you and I will rest finally after 6,000 years of hard work on the planet. There will be 1,000th year where you will rest. And it is the Sabbath, because the Sabbath, as it was pointed out to me, has been described and redescribed and has taken a long period. I mean, there's letters and there are, you know, sentences over sentences written about the idea of resting on the Sabbath. It almost seems so that God wanted to have the Sabbath, or the Sabbath became more important than don't commit adultery, don't murder. But on the Sabbath, he tries to explain and explain. I want you to rest on the Sabbath. It came back all the time. In fact, if you didn't obey the Sabbath, you were murdered for it. I mean, you were murdered. You were killed. You were supposed to be killed. If you were from the people of Israel and you were found working on the Sabbath, God told them, kill this person. He has a very heavy weight on the Sabbath. And I'm not saying that we're going to become Seventh-day Adventists here. But all I'm saying is that the Sabbath that he rested refers to the day that you and I will rest. From out of the 6,000, we are about 6,000 years into creation, or from the day of creation until now. We are just at the very, very end of the 6,000th year. If you add up all the generations from all the way from Adam to Abraham, to from Noah, to Noah to Abraham and Isaac, and then to David and to Jesus, and then another 2,000 years after Jesus, two more days, you're just about at the 6,000th year. Now, you can study it for yourself. Don't take my word for granted, because I might not know everything, but I want you to check it out. We are on the verge of entering the Sabbath day. And it is also written in on our prayer, on the Lord's Prayer, where it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That needs to happen yet. That hasn't happened yet. Because right now, it is not on earth the way it is in heaven now. So when you pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we are talking about something that is, has to happen here too. Jesus Christ is coming to reign for 1,000 years. It's going to be on heaven, on earth the way it is in heaven. You check it out. But I want to encourage you this morning, as we go, or as we think about the plan of God altogether, and the beauty and the perfectness of how everything has been done, the only thing that rests for us to do is to celebrate and to rejoice and to bow down to Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings, the one that came and the one that is coming again. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8 verses, the first verses. "The creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." This creation will become free again as it was before the fall of man. That day is coming. Right now, everybody in anguish. Everybody in pain. Everybody suffering. There's not a household in Markham where there is not some type of suffering, some type of pain, some type of, when in the world this will finally be over? All of us have some type of issues. We are all groaning, when? The animals are waiting for this to happen. The Bible says, creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Shall we pray? As our group comes up here, I want you to close your eyes and start worshiping God. Barashit, bara Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Dear Lord Jesus, we know for a fact that you were present at the day of creation. You were present on that very day where everything started. You brought it all into motion. And everything makes sense. Well, maybe not everything for us, Lord, but everything is perfect in your sight. And we saw it even on the very first word that you uttered in Scripture. Barashit, bara Elohim. And I pray, Jesus, that as we ponder, as we meditate, and as we go in our room eventually and study or meditate upon your word, would you reveal to us the great importance of Scripture? And that there is absolutely zero chance for anything to fail. Everything will come to pass exactly 100% of what you have said. And for you, Lord, there is no such thing as us adapting to an evil culture today. You never change. We are being bombarded by the possibility of a non-existing God. Lord, we do not want to fall for it. Yes, you are who you say you are. Beautiful, perfect, majestic, great, eternal. You are from everlasting to everlasting. You are perfect. You are all powerful. And if you uttered in the very first word that you came to rescue us with your own arm, and you died for us on a cross so that you could save us from ourselves and from the decay in which we find ourselves or found ourselves. You came to forgive, to eliminate our sin. You took it away. Your blood was perfect. As I have mentioned here many times, Lord, we would not be able even to die for ourselves because we simply are not perfect enough. Not good enough sacrifice. If you would die in a sin in which we find ourselves, you would die in our sin. You would not make it. So it had to be necessary that somebody more or perfect that would come and die for us. And since there was none, you decided to transform yourself into flesh and to die yourself for us. Thank you. How can we ever thank you enough? And we want to praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, as we celebrate communion this morning, we read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and following. For I received from the Lord what I also have delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And that is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So what I want to do this morning, as I'm not sure if you have ever